welcome to Reclaiming the Republic. This show is sponsored by ReclaimingTheRepublic.org. I am G.R. Mobley. This is an educational grassroots program focused on uniting and leading in restoring the Republic and placing the federal government back into the scope and framework of the Constitution once again. And welcome to Reclaiming the Republic. And as you know, this show is also sponsored by RepublicReview.org. You are listening to the only show that provides the academic evidence as well as the academic evidence-based solutions. You can't be academic unless you really go through the source documents that truly define. If there are things that truly define anything, then those are source documents. And the ratification debates are the source documents in understanding the Constitution. It's just like understanding the commandments. Well, the source documents are the scriptures themselves. As they, you know, go through the toils and the problems, you do realize, just as a funny antidote, the reason why we have so many scriptures in the Bible is because people sin. They don't live the way they're supposed to. So constantly the prophets have to tell us what we have to do. With that, we have a comment line. I was going to go on, but I do realize I went a little bit long yesterday with my monologue and only got a little bit of the ratification debates done. So I apologize, but it wasn't necessarily, you know, going into marketing, but it was really all necessary because I think sometimes you have to get shaken up a little bit to realize you got to quit getting distracted. We can't allow ourselves to get stuck or sucked into the news cycle. If we're going to fix the problem, we have to be focused on the problem, not worried about what's going on, right? Anyway, we have a comment line, 425-270-5416. Now, if you do call in, when we finish the ratification debates, I will play all of the comments that we have. Now, at this point, we don't have any. Because for some reason, and it's not like nobody listens, the fact of the matter is it seems like people are either enjoying the reading or nobody wants to complain or what have you, and I appreciate that. But if you do have a question, you've got a comment, by all means, just give us a call, 425-270-5416. We've had people call before, and we've actually played that. I think the last person was... Anyway, I didn't mention his name because he didn't give me the permission to do that. So moving on, what we really want to do is we really want to get into the North Carolina ratification debates. And so the last of the debates kind of focuses on religion because there seems to be a lot of comments regarding religion. And let me see, we also got some slave comments and so forth. So, and exclusive legislation. There's just a few more. Let me see. We probably got another day or two, episodes or two, I should say. But let's move on. And what we're going to do is we're going to start with Mr. Henry Abbott, who starts off, and this is all about religion. And again, Mr. Abbott says this, some are afraid, Mr. Chairman, that should the Constitution be received, they would be deprived of the privilege of worshiping God according to their conscience, which would be taken from them, a benefit they enjoy under the present Constitution. They wish to know if their religious and civil liberties be secured under this system, or whether the general government may not make laws infringing their religious liberties. The worthy member of Edenton mentioned sundry political reasons why treaties should be the supreme law of the land. It is feared by some people that by the power of making treaties, they might make a treaty engaging with foreign powers to adopt the Roman Catholic religion in the United States, which would prevent the people from worshiping God according to their own conscience. The worthy member from Halifax has in some measure satisfied Ray mind on this subject. I don't know who Ray is, or maybe that was my mind on the subject, but others may be dissatisfied. Many, because there are typos in this thing. So anyway, many wish to know what religion shall be established. I believe a majority of the community are Presbyterians. I am, for my part, against any exclusive establishment, but if there were any, I would prefer the Episcopal. The exclusion of religious tests is, by many thoughts, dangerous and impolitic. They suppose that if there be no religious test required, pagans, deists, and Mohammedans might obtain offices among us, and that the senators and representatives might all be pagans. Every person employed by the general and state governments is to take an oath to support the former. Some are desirous to know how and whom they are to swear, since no religious tests are required. Whether they are to swear by Juniper, Juto, Minerva, Proserpine, or Pluto. We ought to be suspicious of our liberties. We have felt the effects of oppressive measures and know the happy consequences of being joyous of our rights. I would be glad some gentlemen would endeavor to obviate these objections in order to satisfy the religious art of the society. Could I be convinced that the objections were well-founded? I would then declare my opinion against this Constitution. And then he basically started mumbling. They didn't capture anything else. Well, Mr. Iredell then responds, and he says, Mr. Chairman, nothing is more desirable than to remove the scruples of any gentleman on this interesting subject. Those concerning religion are entitled to particular respect. I did not expect any objection to this particular regulation, which is that there shall be no religious tests for anybody pursuing public service, which, in my opinion, is calculated to prevent evils of the most pernicious consequences to society. Every person in the least conversant in the history of mankind knows what dreadful mischiefs have been committed by religious persecutions. Under the color of religious tests, the utmost cruelties have been exercised. And I'll actually go into this, because today the progressives are actually using religious tests, and they have been using religious tests in the, you know, the early days of communism in America from the late 1800s. Remember the Snopes trial? The Snopes trial was really concerning a religious test. And the federal government has no position whatsoever to even, they have no jurisdiction. The federal government should not have stepped in and said, you cannot teach creation anymore. That obviously evolution is, they don't have that enumerated power. And this is what Mr. Iredell is going to say. Those in power have generally considered all wisdom centered in themselves, that they alone had a right to dictate to the rest of mankind, and that all opposition to their tenets were profane and impious. The consequences of intolerant spirit had been that each church has in turn set itself up against every other, and persecutions of war and most implacable and bloody nature have taken place in every part of the world. America has set an example to mankind to think more modestly and reasonably. Now, you got to understand, I'm taking a side here. When these men got together from the Puritans, the Episcopals, the Anglicans, there were a lot of different faiths. And we've covered this already, but I want to emphasize this. When these men created this system and realized that one religion might become a dominant religion, that they can't allow that to happen. That's one of the reasons why they created in the Bill of Rights the Establishment Clause, that the federal government cannot establish a church. And secondly, within the Constitution, that there cannot be any religious tests. So they've done everything they can to try to keep government at bay. But what has happened, like I said in my previous aside, is that the progressives, the godless, secular godlessness has crept in, and they have created a church of secular godlessness. As a matter of fact, one of my articles that I've never published, but you can kind of read about some of this stuff in my book, my first book, is that the fact is the federal government has created a secular church by instituting what would be taught to the children. In other words, as I say, they don't have in this religion that the federal government has created, they don't have a Sunday school. They have a Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday school. And good luck trying to counter what they are teaching the children in the Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday school in your Sunday school. Because you're countering the narrative is, as you can see, they know it's losing the battle unless the parents get far more active and far more involved. There are many, I've seen many good kids today that are surviving against the barrage of perversion and, you know, evil, godlessness, and secularism that's being just jammed down their throat, because they have good, loving parents that are engaged and involved and helping these kids understand how wrong and what the school, one, shouldn't be doing this, and they actually get involved and tell the school, you shouldn't be doing this. But the fact is that if you do not, and most, too many times, parents are not involved, then your children will be lost. And what they have actually created, and this is in my article, and I think I even mentioned this in my book, that what they have done by creating this godless secular church under the federal government, with the Supreme Court being the keepers, the oracles of this church, well, what they have done is they have basically created the Antichrist religion. Anyway, we've got a break. We will be back after these two promos. Thank you so much. Folks, as you know, online fraud is on the rise, and it's more important than ever for your new and existing customers to be able to determine whether they are using a website with a secured connection. If you didn't know, Google mandated in 2017 that all data submitted to its linked websites must be secure with SSL certificates. Without SSL certificates, your site is listed by Google as not secure. In other words, without these certificates, your site will be harder to find, and this will impact new traffic and ultimately your revenue. Whether you're a blogger or in e-commerce, AdLocal will help protect your website from all forms of data breaches, phishing scams, and build a secure environment for your businesses, big or small. Contact AdLocal by calling 866-88-ADLOCAL or visit them on the web at www.adlocal.com for custom pricing. If you've listened to my show, Reclaiming the Republic, then you should understand that the Constitution is neither a living document nor a noble guide to governance. In accordance to Article 7, the Constitution is a hard, fast contract, and the states are the only stakeholders in this contract. Integral in contract law, the stakeholders or states possess the inherent authority to exercise oversight and enforcement over their contract. This means they can audit the federal government by the contract, and with republic review, they can enforce compliance to their constitution. Any single state can perform the audit, but when states begin to unite in the auditing process, this is what is referred to as republic review. Please read my argument for republic review, as well as my description of the Republic Review model on ReclaimingTheRepublic.org. We even have a graphic flowchart that shows you how Republic Review works. If you want to learn more, contact me on Facebook or send me an email. Thank you.
Friends, if you have any questions or comments, we have our 24-hour comment line at 425-270-5416.
And so let me keep moving on with what Mr. Erdell says. And I just repeat the last sentence. America has set an example to all mankind to think more modestly and reasonably that a man may be of different religious sentiments from our own without being a bad member of society. I take that back. You know, I find that interesting, but there are those religions that actually do not believe, and these men knew this, and I don't think they used a very good grasp of, you know, because Jefferson spoke about Mohammedans, and there were Satanists. There were those who worshiped Satan or Lucifer, Luciferns or Luciferism. And so they knew of that, but that was really an outlier. And they didn't see, and they couldn't fathom how America would go that far out, how they would go down that path of allowing these types of cultures or religions to be established in America that would actually be the enemy. I do not believe in the Lord's house he would necessarily allow. So we already know that no unclean thing can enter into heaven. But maybe when it comes to the teachings and so forth, we need to be tolerant. And I think that is a Christian aspect, and that's a liberty aspect. But when you allow certain cultures to establish, this is why all the states banned Mohammedism. Every state would not allow the open practice of Judaism. Most states did not allow Jews to openly practice, as well as Muslims, as well as Hindu, and a lot of these other, you know, non-Christian faiths. So anyway, the principles of toleration to the honor of this age are doing away those errors and prejudices which have so long prevailed, even in the most intolerant countries. You know, here's another side, and this is so interesting, is that as we've become tolerant, we've allowed the devil's nose to come into the tent. And once he has become, you know, once he has pushed himself into the tent, he has pushed us out, and his intolerance, there's no way we'll ever take that tent back, because the intolerance is far worse than the intolerance that has ever been displayed by some of these other perverse religions. Just saying, this is a fact, and this is what the Bible is predicting, by the way, my friends. These are the dreadful days of the Lord, right? Anyway, in the Roman Catholic countries, principles of moderation are adopted, which would have been spurned at a century or two ago. I should be sorry to find, when examples of toleration are set even by arbitrary governments, that this country, so impressed with the highest sense of liberty, should adopt principles on this subject that were narrow and illiberal. I consider the clause under consideration as one of the strongest proofs that could be adduced that it was the intention of those who formed this system to establish a general religious liberty in America. Were we to judge from the examples of religious tests in other countries, we would be persuaded that they do not answer the purpose for which they are intended. What is the consequence of such an England? In that country, no man can be a member in the King's House of Commons or hold any office under the crown without taking the sacrament according to the rites of the church. This is the first instance which must degrade and profane a rite which never ought to have been taken, but from a sincere principle of devotion to a man of base principles, it is made a mere instrument of civil policy. The intention was to exclude all persons from offices but the members of the Church of England. Yet it is notorious that dissenters qualify themselves for offices in this manner, though they never conform to the church or any other occasion, and men of no religion at all have no scruples to make use of this qualification. It never was known that a man who had no principles of religion hesitated to perform any rite when it was convenient for his private interests. You hear what he just said? It was never known that a man who had no principles of religion hesitated to perform any rite when it was convenient for his private interest. Now, I'm not going to badmouth the Catholic Church, but I will badmouth Biden. Right? Hasn't Biden come out and said he's Catholic? And yet he doesn't practice any. His paradigm is antithetical to the Catholic Church. And actually, the Catholic Church today, or the Pope, is even becoming antithetical to the traditional Catholic Church as well. No test can bind such a one. I am therefore clearly of the opinion that such a discrimination would neither be effectual for its own purposes, nor, if it could, ought to be by any means to be made. Upon the principles I have stated, I confess the restriction on the power of Congress in this particular has my hearty approbation. They certainly have no authority, they certainly have no authority to interfere in the establishment of any religion whatsoever. And I am astonished that any gentleman should conceive that they have. Why is he saying this? Because there is no enumeration within the Constitution regarding religion. Religion only became a declaration of a negative power that they can make no laws regarding religion. It was an additional declaration. So it's not enumerated and it has been declared. And yet they have been making laws regarding religion. And with this pandemic, they have been violating the Bill of Rights by making laws regarding the respect of religion and the religious expressions. Is there any power given to Congress in matters of religion? Can they pass a single act to impair our religious liberties? If they could, it would be a just cause of alarm. If they could, sir, no man would have more horror against it than myself. Happily, no sect here is superior to another. As long as this is the case, we shall be free from those persecutions and distractions with which other countries have been torn. If any future Congress should pass an act concerning the religion of the country, it would be an act which they would not authorize to pass by the Constitution and which the people would not obey. Everyone would ask, who authorized the government to pass such an act? It is not warranted by the Constitution and is barefaced usurpation. The power to make treaties can never be supposed to include a right to establish foreign religion among ourselves, though it might be authorized to toleration of others. I want you to understand something. What he just said was basically what I've been telling you. If it is not an enumerated power, they have no business even making a treaty regarding it. They can't do it. They don't have the authority. But they've been doing it. And they've been doing it as usurpations and as violations of the Constitution. This is why Republic Review is that important. To get the federal government, if we're going to restore our liberties, we're going to restore America and our constitutional republic, we must initiate Republic Review in getting the federal government back into the framework of the Constitution. He goes on, this is Mr. Erdahl, but it is objected that the people of America may perhaps choose representatives who have no religion at all, and that pagans and Mohammedans may be admitted into offices. But how is it possible to exclude any set of men without taking away the principle of religious freedom, which we ourselves so warmly contend for? The one thing, I'm just going on an aside here, it doesn't matter what the person's religion is if they are serving. Now, I do believe that we have to be very clear, and I'm going to go on this long aside, that when it comes to communism, communism cannot embrace liberty. And so I believe that people who are communists here and they're not active and they're not trying to invoke communism, it's just a personal belief, then they should be able to be an inhabitant in America. They shouldn't be allowed to vote because when people have an ideological paradigm, they try to vote and they try to persuade people to do things that they shouldn't be or that would be violations of the law. So they should be able to enjoy the freedom of America, but they should not be able to participate in the political process because their political ideology and even at a religious slant, because Mohammedans do not believe that people should have a free choice. And as a matter of fact, when somebody that is Mohammedan and they choose to go become Christian, I mean, their religion calls for that person must die. Well, that's not liberty. That's not allowing people to constantly be able to make their choices and not be punished in this life. When it comes to religion, I truly believe that the Mohammedans do not align with the land of liberty and, you know, the individual liberty, individual paradigm, individual sovereignty paradigm, I mean, that is basically the byproduct of what the framers have given us in this Constitution. So that it's not really compatible. So whether they can live here as inhabitants is one thing, but whether they should be able to vote, because you can see, you can clearly see how perverted Mohammedans and godless people have become by our communists, I should say, godless communists who are sitting in public offices. They should not be able to run for office. They should be inhabitants, but not citizens. And I think that this is something that the framers kind of, they dealt with it by banning them. Anyway, we'll be back after these two promos. The reason progressives are effective in instituting their policies is because they are united ideologically, financially, and socially. In addition, almost every billionaire in the world is funding a vast array of different groups, and these groups' efforts are to undermine our republic and our Constitution. If you don't believe me, just Google donors to the Open Society Foundations. The only way we're going to successfully combat these efforts and take back our liberties, like our education system, healthcare, state lands, housing, labor, and many other roles, responsibilities and powers that belong to the states, is by you and I and local businesses getting involved in supporting political programs and efforts based on constitutional principles. The best way to do this is supporting result-oriented organizations designed to take back our lost liberties. The ultimate result-oriented effort is Republic Review. So please consider contributing to the show and the organizations and activities that we are supporting by going to reclaimingtherepublic.org and go to the contribution page, and you can become a listed supporter of liberty. To become a citizen, one must take an oath to support and defend the Constitution. Those of us who are naturally born citizens are obligated and duty-bound to fulfill the same oath, even though we're not required to take it, because it is implied upon us at birth. This is why I cannot emphasize enough the importance in supporting businesses who are supporting our Constitution. We have to stop supporting businesses that have chosen to hide behind political correctness, and obviously we must stop supporting progressive businesses who are working to undermine our republic and our Constitution. Do not let businesses or organizations convince you that they are supporting the Constitution by supporting protests for social justice. By definition, social justice is the distribution of wealth, opportunities, and privileges within a society. In other words, they're calling for socialism, which is incompatible with individual liberty and individual sovereignty and our Constitution. With that, please consider supporting businesses who advertise on this show and this radio station. Don't forget, you can call our 24-hour comment line to ask a question or to speak on any topic. Dial 425-270-5416. Okay, so as I was going into break, the framers and, you know, the government in America at that time actually did deal with this issue. They didn't tolerate, they didn't allow immigrants from, I mean, they allowed visitors, but you could not immigrate. You could not become a citizen. And those religions were banned in America. And anybody that, you know, came here that openly practiced, I mean, in Virginia, they had pretty oppressive religious laws. And Madison was pretty upset with the fact that the Anglicans were actually imprisoning and charging Baptist ministers for a proselyting without a license, as because the only people that you could get a license to practice religion or to preach religion was from the Anglican Church. So if you've never read Madison's remonstrance on religion, you really should. But in their paradigm, they embrace the, you know, like an open free market of Christianity. They tried to create, believe it or not, they tried to create a nation that was, you know, free of Christian thought and, you know, different directions of, you know, worshiping Christ. However, religions came along that were, you know, different in form or faith or what have you, even though they were still, you know, centered on Christ, but they were persecuted. There has been persecution. So America's not necessarily perfect, but they did their best to try to create a society that wouldn't allow what they considered a true threat to liberty get a, you know, a foothold or a toehold in America. That's why they banned those religions. Now look at us today. We've become so tolerant that it has actually bit us in the butt, where now we have the government that has formed the Antichrist, and you can see that Christians are being persecuted, period. There should be no law respecting religion or religious expression. And yet people are being fired. People are being punished. You can't, you know, they made a law that you can't have nativity scenes. Or seriously? I mean, you know, I'm not a fan of the modern day Christmas. I am a fan of centering our life around Christ and thinking about that year round. But come on. You cannot create any law, any city, any state that has a law that does not allow Christmas nativity scenes on public property. They can't make a law respecting religion. But the problem is that we've become so tolerant that Satanism, Luciferism, Mohammedism, and those types of things are now becoming oppressive to Christianity. And Christians have been so, you know, turning the other cheek and been tolerant that it has, well, we can see how it has kind of turned the, you know, the tide, and it is moving in the absolutely the wrong direction. Anyway, back to Mr. Iredell. This is the foundation on which persecution has been raised in every part of the world. The people in power were always right and everybody else wrong. If you admit the least difference, the door to persecution is opened. Nor would it answer the purpose, for the worst part of the excluded sex would comply with the test and the best men only to keep out of our consuls. But it is never to be supposed that the people of America will trust their dearest rights to persons who have no religion at all, or a religion materially different from their own. It would be happy for mankind if religion was permitted to take its own course and maintain itself by the excellence of its own doctrines. The divine author of our religion never wished for its support by worldly authority. Has he not said that the gates of hell shall not prevail against it? It made much greater progress for itself than when supported by the greatest authority on earth. Boom. And so this goes on. And now Mr. Abbott, because this was his response to Mr. Abbott then expressed his obligations for the explanation which had been given, observed that no answer had been given to the question he put forth concerning the form of an oath. Mr. Chairman, so Mr. Iredell comes back and says, Mr. Chairman, I beg pardon for having admitted to take notice that of that part which the worthy gentleman had mentioned. It was by no means from design, but it is having escaped my memory as I have not the conveniency of taking notes. I shall now satisfy him in that particular, in the best manner in my power. So anyway, the English isn't the best. Anywho, and it could be the note takers because they're misspelling words and so forth. Anyway, according to the modern definition of an oath, it is considered a solemn appeal to the supreme being for the truth of what is said by a person who believes in the existence of supreme being and in future state of rewards and punishments according to that form which will bind his conscience most. It was long held that no oath could be administered upon the New Testament except to a Jew, who was allowed to swear upon the old. According to this notion, none but Jews and Christians could take an oath, and heathens were altogether excluded. at length by the operation of principles of toleration, these narrow motions were done away. Men at length considered that they were more virtuous men in the world who had not had an opportunity of being instructed either in the Old or New Testament, who were yet very sincerely believed in a supreme being and in a future state of rewards and punishments. It is well known that many nations entertain this belief who do not believe either in the Jewish or Christian religion. Indeed, there are very few people who grossly ignorant or barbarous to have no religion at all. And if none by Christian or Jews could be examined upon oath, many innocent persons might suffer for want of the testimony of others. The fact is, when they take this oath, the oath of the Constitution is to support the Constitution, that they must support it. And so anybody that takes the oath and then turns their back and calls for violating the Constitution, such as the Mohammedans in Congress today, as well as the communists in Congress today, then they are committing moral perjury. And in accordance with Section 3 of the 14th Amendment, they've disqualified themselves and must be removed. They don't even have a due process. They have called for violating the Constitution, and therefore they must be removed. My friends, only the Lord knew what we would need, and there's a reason why the 14th Amendment was granted to us. There's no doubt in my mind. When people say, anybody that says bad things about the 14th Amendment, they have no idea what a blessing that 14th Amendment truly was to us. Anyway, in regard to the form of an oath that ought to be governed by the religion of the person taking it, I remember to have read an instance which happened in England. I believe in the time of Charles II, a man who was a material witness in a cause refused to swear upon the book, and he was admitted to swear upon his uplifted hand that the jury had a difficulty in crediting him. But the Chief Justice told them he had, in his opinion, taken as strong as an oath as any other witnesses, though he had been to swear himself he should have kissed the book. A very remarkable instance also happened in England about 40 years ago of a person who was admitted to take an oath according to the rites of his own country, though he was a heathen. He was an East Indian who had a great suit in Chancery, and his answer upon oath to a bill filed against him was absolutely necessary. Not believing either in the Old or New Testament, he could not swear to the accustomed manner, but was sworn according to the form of the Gintu religion, which he professed by touching the foot of a priest. It appeared that according to the tenets of this religion, its members believed in a supreme being and in a future state of rewards and punishments. It was accordingly held by the judges upon the great consideration that the oath ought to be received, they considering that it was probable those of that religion were equally bound in conscience by an oath according to their form of swearing as they themselves were by one of theirs, and that it would be a reproach to the justice of a country if a man merely because he was of a different religion from their own should be denied redress of injury had he sustained. Anyway, you know, there's also in the Constitution an oath to, you know, to swear or to affirm. And an affirm is a legal testament that you are, you know, truthfully saying you're doing this not as a religious oath, but as a legal oath, that you would abide by this oath. Anyway, I know I'm using oath, but you're abiding by the statement that you're making. You affirm. Anywho, ever since this great case, it has been universally considered that in administering an oath, it is only necessary to inquire if the person who is taking it believes in a supreme being and in a future state of rewards and punishments. If he does not, the oath is to be administered according to that form which it is supposed will bind his conscience most. It is, however, necessary that such a belief should be entertained, because otherwise there would be nothing to bind his conscience that could be relied upon. And so we'll kind of end it there. But keep this in mind, that you couldn't even go into court if you were atheist in America. There is, I got evidence in my book about this, that you had to have, you know, Christian standing, good standing in your community. You could not be atheist. Your case would have been thrown out. Anyway, we'll be back after this. If you run a business or an organization, you already know email is an essential tool for communicating. If you're interested in reducing your overhead and increasing your productivity, I personally recommend you look into AdLocal email marketing services. AdLocal has a special offer for my listeners with email services that start at $10 a month for your first 1,000 addresses. If you want to increase customer retention, grow your market presence, track your statistics, and improve your engagement with your customers with modern, elegant emails that express the personality of your business with emails that integrate with your website, you need to contact AdLocal, and they handle the rest. Take it from me. AdLocal offers the best solutions for all organization sizes, and they lead with their pricing and the 24-hour customer service. Folks, it's time to call AdLocal at 866-88-ADD-LOCAL or visit them on the web at www.addlocal.com. To set the record straight, Republic Review is neither an Article 5 convention nor a convention of states. In accordance with Article 5 of the Constitution, this convention requires two-thirds of the states to apply to Congress to convene a convention with the intent to amend the Constitution. This convention is unable to solve our real problem, which is non-compliance to the Constitution, and would be dangerous to convene at this time. In contrast, Republic Review is the process of the states exerting its constitutional authority over the Constitution. An audit does not require an application to Congress. This authority is inherent to principal stakeholders of a contract. Why do we need Republic Review? Because this is the only way the states can deal with the federal encroachments into roles, responsibilities, and powers that belong to the states. To learn more about Republic Review, please go to reclaimingtherepublic.org to read my content and my model on the audit and Republic Review process. As a reminder, if you have any questions or comments, we have a 24-hour comment line, 425-270-5416. Okay, so let me wrap up what Mr. Iredell is saying here, and then we'll go into what the governor, Governor Johnston, says. It is, however, necessary that such a belief should be entertained, because otherwise there would be nothing to bind his conscience that could be relied on, since there are many cases where the terror of punishment in this world for perjury could not be dreaded. I have endeavored to satisfy, because you realize that it is, you know, when you falsely swear, you take an oath and you do otherwise, or you lie, then that's perjury. I have endeavored to satisfy the committee. We may, I think, very safely leave religion to itself as to the form of the oath. I think this may be well trusted to the government to be applied on the principles I have mentioned. And so the governor actually then speaks on this exact same issue, expressed his astonishment that the people were alarmed on the subject of religion. This, he said, must have arisen from the great pains which he had taken to prejudice men's minds against the Constitution. He begged leave to add the following few observations to what had been so ably said by the gentleman last up. I read the Constitution over and over, but I do not see one cause of apprehension or jealousy on this subject. When I heard there were apprehensions that the Pope of Rome could be the President of the United States, I was greatly astonished. It might as well have been said that the King of England or France or of the Grand Turk could have chosen that office. It would have been as good of an argument. It appears to me that it would have been dangerous if Congress could intermeddle with the subject of religion, which is exactly what they're doing now. True religion is derived from a much higher source than human laws. When any attempt is made by any government to restrain men's conscience, no good consequence can possibly follow. it is apprehended that the Jews, Mohammedans, pagans, and etc. may be elected to high offices under the government of the United States. Those who are Mohammedans or any others who are not professors of the Christian religion can never be elected to the office of president or other high office, but in one of two cases. First, if the people of America lay aside their Christian religion altogether, it may happen. Should this unfortunately take place, the people will choose such men as think as they do themselves. Another case is if any person, such description, should, notwithstanding the religion, acquire the confidence and esteem of the people of America by their good conduct and practice of virtue, they may be chosen. I leave it to gentlemen's candor to judge what probably there is of the people choosing men different sentiments from themselves. But great apprehension have been raised as to the influence of the eastern states. When you attend to circumstances, this will have no weight. I know but two or three states where there is at least chance of establishing any particular, or I should say, yeah, that's exactly what it says. I know but two or three states in the eastern states where there is the least chance of establishing any particular religion. The people of Massachusetts and Connecticut are mostly Presbyterians. In every other state, the people are divided into great number of sects. In Rhode Island, the tenets of Baptists, I believe, prevail. In New York, they are divided very much, and the numerous of the Episcopalians and the Baptists. In New Jersey, they are divided as well. In Pennsylvania, if any sect prevails more than others, it is that of the Quakers. In Maryland, the Episcopalians are the most numerous, though there are no other sects. In Virginia, there are many sects. You all know what their religious sentiments are. So in all the southern states, they differ, as also in New Hampshire. I hope, therefore, that gentlemen will see that there is no cause of fear that any one religion shall be exclusively established. Then Mr. Caldwell pipes in and says that some danger might arise. He imagined that it might be objected to in a political as well as in a religious view. In the first place, he said, there was an invitation for Jews and pagans of every kind to come among us. At some future period, he said, this might endanger the character of the United States. This is why they had these bans. Moreover, you know, Massachusetts didn't allow Jews to openly practice until, I think, in the 1830s. Anyway, moreover, even those who do not regard religion acknowledge that the Christian religion is best calculated of all religions to make good members of society on account of its morality, as well, I think, on account of, and this is me saying this, as well as its account of embracing liberty to allow people to choose for themselves. I think then, added he, that in a political view, those gentlemen who formed this constitution should not have given this invitation to the Jews and heathens. All those who have any religion are against the immigration of those people from the Eastern Hemisphere. Ba-da! So they're practicing of bans. Mr. Spencer was an advocate for securing every inalienable right and that of worshiping God according to the dictates of conscience in particular. He therefore thought that no one particular religion should be established. Religious tests, he said, have been the foundation of persecutions in all countries. Persons who are conscientious will not take the oath required by religious tests and will therefore be excluded from office, though equally capable of discharging them as any member of the society. It is feared, continued he, that the persons of bad principles, deists, atheists, etc., may come into this country, and there is nothing to restrain them from being able to take these offices. He asked if it was responsible to suppose that people would choose good men without regarding their characters. Mr. Spencer then continued thus, gentlemen urge that the want of a test admits the most vicious characters to office. I desire to know what test could bind them. If there were of such a very few principles, it would not keep them from enjoying those offices. On the other hand, it would exclude from offices conscientious and truly religious people, though equally capable of others. Conscientious persons would not take such an oath and would be therefore excluded. This would be a great cause of objection to a religious test. But in this case, as there is not a religious test required, it leaves religion to the solid foundation of its own inherent validity without any connection with temporal authority, and no kind of oppression can take place. I confess it strikes me so. I am sorry to differ from the worthy gentleman. I cannot object to this part of the Constitution. I wish every other part was as good and proper. So I wonder what Mr. Spencer thought was bad, but he was obviously really in agreement with this part. And Governor Johnson then approved of the worthy member's candor. He admitted a possibility of Jews, pagans, and etc. immigrating to the United States, yet he said that they could not in proportion to the immigration of Christians who should come from other countries, that in all probability the children even of such people would be Christians, and that this would be the rapid population of the United States. Their zeal for religion and love of liberty would, he trusted, add to the progress of Christian religion among us. Now, you know, this woke society and everything that we hear right now about how America was, you know, this dictated Christian faith, here you see how that is absolutely inaccurate, because Christianity was not a single faith. It was a faith that was divided by many sects, and that there were different sects that had, you know, different doctrines and different philosophies. And so Christianity is a broad brush statement, almost like saying, you know, that all Jews are Jews, when actually, you know, or Israel is all Jewish, when actually there are 12 tribes of Israel, and Judah is only one of 12 of those tribes. So Israel is not just Jews. Israel is a collection of other tribes that they supposedly share. But even amongst the Jews, there's the Hasidic and the Orthodox, and there's all these different sects within Judaism. Anyway, I look over my shoulder. I've got about a minute. So the next portion comes up from Mr. Lenore, and he's an anti-federalist, and he's making an observation regarding the Confederation and, I believe, the Commission. And he says, Mr. Chairman, I conceive that I should not be out of order to make some observations on this last part of the system and take some retrospective view of some other parts of it. I think it not proper for our adoption, as I consider that it endangers our liberties. When we consider the system collectively, we must be surprised to think that any set of men who were delegated to amend the Confederation should propose to annihilate it, for that this system are utterly different and cannot exist together. It has been said that the fullest confidence should be put in those characters who formed this Constitution. We will admit them in private and public transactions to be good characters, but, sir, it appears to me and every other member of this committee that they exceeded their powers. Those gentlemen had no sort of power to form a new constitution altogether. I'm going to finish this tomorrow. You know why I'm reading this, because I want to prove to you that when North Carolina actually ratified, they rejected this concept that these men exceeded their commission and their power. Period. And so we will be back. And I'm G.R. Mobley. We're Reclaiming the Republic, and we need your help. God bless. Reclaiming the Republic is more than an educational radio show. My intent is to also work with you and local leadership to promote matters of the Constitution and self-governance. This way we can all promote constitutional awareness within our communities and with our elected officials and public leaders. If you love liberty and sovereignty and recognize the federal tyranny that is threatening our lives, then we are asking for your help. And here are a few ways you can help. Spread the word about this radio show, Reclaiming the Republic. It is the only radio show in the world asserting a constitutional solution to federal overreach. Download and share our podcast and content. Read, like, follow, and share our Moby Strip Press and Reclaiming the Republic pages on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter at Moby Strip News. Get informed about local groups in the area and get involved. Most importantly, become a constitutional warrior with your local leaders and demand that they begin applying constitutional tests to what they are doing and who they are supporting. Thank you.